1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Tom Rivers. Extreme weather continues to pose a challenge for millions. Flash floods swept through Chicago, while a heat wave is scorching large areas of the country. It's being blamed for at least 14 deaths across the South. The weather also having an impact on air travel. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told CNN,
"Even as we're holding the airlines accountable on customer service, we're also partnering with them at the operational level to solve those tactical problems that can come up hour by hour when you have a thunderstorm, a staffing issue, or anything else."
As the holiday weekend continues, thousands of hotel workers in Los Angeles walked off the job. They're on strike, calling for higher wages and better benefits. Baltimore police say 14 of the 30 victims of a mass shooting early Sunday were under 18. Two people died. Several remain hospitalized. The French Interior Ministry says there were more than 150 arrests overnight on the sixth night of disturbances after police fatally shot an unarmed teenager. This is ABC News. Another Biden administration cabinet member to visit Beijing as the White House hopes to cool things off between the U.S. and China.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will become the latest Biden cabinet member to visit Beijing on July 6th for what a statement said will be meetings with senior officials in the People's Republic of China. The statement says Yellen's trip follows President Biden's directive to deepen communication with China on a range of issues, including the global economy. Her trip follows Secretary of State Blinken's trip last month, which culminated in a meeting with Chinese President Xi to improve relations with China, which some Chinese officials say is at an all-time low. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
At least four people are reported injured after an explosion rocked a building in Tokyo's Tsumbashi Commercial District today. Local media report the blast shattered windows and released clouds of smoke in the neighborhood. Police are investigating at the site of the explosion. No cause for the incident has been given. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha.
Whiskey in the Water.
With big singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. Your place to play. Visit our website for more information. Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion throughout the month of July. You can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on July 29th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Coming to the greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. What a week coming up, right?
What a beautiful morning we got coming up.
I know. This is an awesome, well, drive for you, walk for me.
Yes. Oh, here. Did you walk today?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Drive. Why don't you take one of those scooters?
You know, right?
Why not?
The bird? Yes. Yeah, that would be a nice way to. And what, it's just a beautiful morning. Yes, it's going to be a great week. We've got some great guests coming in. Spent a little time today talking about what the Declaration of Independence is all about.
This celebrating is something that you have. I've never seen you more enthused about anything than you have been for a week about how you really wanted to take today and really hit on the Declaration of Independence.
Do, you know, I'm grateful for my life but if God said to me, Jim, pick a time where you want to live, you know, let's say he showed you the whole, you know, this is the beginning, this is the end, you know, pick your 100 years, you know, I kind of got you slotted around, you know, 58, 59, 60. I may have tried to cut a deal for 200 years earlier. I would have loved to have been part of the revolution. I just really believe in what these guys, and I can say guys because it was all guys.
No, it wasn't working. All guys.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
The revolution?
There were a lot of women that got killed in the Revolutionary War.
No. I'm talking about the guys who drafted the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. All right.
And I would have been with Tom. I'd have been I'm your man on that.
You've
I would
been
have
with
been
who?
Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, Tom.
With the author. I would have been like Tom.
Tom and I.
Tom and I.
We
Tom.
Had a couple of
look, I can get
night.
You the best monument, one of the best monuments, and get you on the $2 bill, whatever mm-hmm. else you want. But no, I would have loved to live during that time, or maybe even 100 years later. You know, the Civil War would have been interesting to me. But do you realize this? And we'll get to this later. I want to get to we've got a guest in here. We need to talk
wonderful
about.
Wonderful guest.
We do. But when you look at the Declaration of Independence, I mean, that was the day, and it really was a day. And these guys all got together. They made a committee. Of course, the committee, some things never changed. The committee kind of like one guy did all the work, Thomas Jefferson, and put this together. And this became, you know, we cut the umbilical cord that day. We're like, look, we're done, George. You know, and the list of these 27 grievances, we'll talk about that later, but then the French picked that up, and a lot of other countries used that as their document to get their independence throughout the world. I mean, this is a unbelievable document that was done with really five people, and then it was so important for Jefferson. He said, I really want this to be unanimous. So that's where there was a lot of give and take towards the end. But anyway, it's a great document. It's really worth celebrating. I don't think we should call it the 4th of July. Besides, it happened on the 2nd of July. But I think it really needs to be called Independence Day. This is the country's birthday. When my kids were little, we always had a birthday cake on the 4th of July saying happy birthday. Because they need to understand this was the day that we were born. And we've done a great job. And of course, we've had our struggles, but I just think it's a great day, and that's why.
Do your kids know that some of your distant relatives fought against the Patriots? Do they know that?
We don't go into that detail.
When the Germans came over and the Hessians and all that?
Huh? We don't go into that detail. Okay. We do tell them, though, how fortunate they are to be living in a country that is free from tyranny, free from, you know, this lineage of God handing down and then the king and your son or whatever who next in line becomes the king, and that it's a free country, representative government. They understand all that. And I think that's the basis. And like I said, it's not a perfect country, right? We've had some wars. We've had some things that maybe we haven't always done right. But at the end of the day, it's the best place on earth to live. And I'm just really proud of it. And that's why, you're right, I have been excited about talking about the Declaration of Independence.
I just wish there had been one other clause in there.
Which was that?
Cheaper parking tickets in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're getting to that on Thursday. All right. I know, you're right. That is something I wish they would have written in there.
Yes.
Yeah, they missed that. Like I said, it's not the perfect document.
All right.
Okay, but
we have the perfect guest for today.
We do. So, couple things going on, right? 4th of July, Declaration of Independence. We celebrate the birth of this country, and a lot of people celebrate with fireworks, and fire safety is a big deal. A lot of emergency room visits. So I thought, well, let's get someone in here to talk about fire safety, how we can celebrate yet be safe. So as you know, I teach at NWTC, reached out to the risk manager there, and this guy knows safety. I mean, that's a beautiful campus, and he keeps us all safe, keeps the students safe, and make sure that we're complying with all the rules that are out there.
And not but only in, that,
but in
but
talking
a person
to him,
that moved to this country.
That's the cool part
so
about
got
him.
So we've got a double whammy with this gentleman.
We do. We have Meng Zhang.
Yes.
That is here.
Hi, Meng.
Hi.
Good morning.
And we are so glad he's here. He came over here as a refugee. And I said, hey, look, we kind of want you to talk about fire safety and a little bit about yourself. And you're very happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to be here. It's like what you said before. It's a great place to live, a beautiful country and everything like that. And, you know, until you really experience how it's like outside the country, it's hard to really take in what we really have to offer here in America itself.
That's awesome. So when did you come over here? Tell us a little bit about... I don't know. You want to talk about fire safety? Let's talk about you.
About this
you're more. You're more fun.
I
than,
find this so fascinating.
Right.
His story.
He got here a little bit earlier. You live in Sheboygan. You drove up here. Thank you for being here. Tell us about coming over here. A little bit about your grandfather too.
Oh yeah, definitely. My grandfather, who was part of the U.S. forces when in the secret war in Vietnam. So that was they pretty much fought in Laos against the North Vietnamese. Helped a lot of American soldiers, especially the down fighter pilots, mm-hmm. and just really guiding the American soldiers through the jungles and helping them out and assisting them in a lot of situations. So when the Americans left, we were left there without any protection or anything else. So a lot of families, a lot of Hmong families had to leave the country, in fear of getting killed and being discriminated against. So
if I could just jump in, I just want to say that is a black mark against our country, I guess we should say, is the way, and it's happened in Afghanistan, it happened in Vietnam, it's happened in other places where we leave and kind of leave people that have helped us to very, very dangerous, terrible situations.
Because we've left the enemy there, and that we didn't have a good exit plan. In Vietnam, we sure didn't have a good exit plan. And yet, so you became really a refugee, not really an immigrant. We were talking about that earlier, right? An immigrant kind of wants to come here. A refugee, you are without a home, without a country, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you'd lived in Laos, right?
Yep. My parents lived in Laos, and they came over. They met in Thailand in the refugee camps. They were pretty much forced out of the country, and that's what a refugee is. They run away from their country. They're forced out of the country because there is no more home there for them.
And literally running.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't catch a plane. They literally ran through the jungle to get away, didn't they?
Yeah, they literally ran through the jungle. And as I mentioned before, a lot of them, they didn't tell anybody that they were leaving. They left in the middle of the night. They left everything behind. They only had whatever they could carry on their backs. And it was a long trek through the jungle. Sometimes it took a year or two. If they were a lot closer, it didn't take that long. But yeah, it was just forging their way through their jungle, just trying to get their family to be... Get over to Thailand, because they knew Thailand was a neutral state, neutral country. So they knew if they went there, they got there, that they'll at least be a little safe.
And there were even, the North Vietnamese were just terrible to your people. I mean, they were ruthless, tenacious. And one of the gentlemen that spoke in Appleton when I was there a couple of months back, he talked about where the North Vietnamese would figure out where, I guess they'd capture some Hmongs and figure out some of the secret routes and plant landmines. You know, in the middle of the jungle, and just terrible. He said poisonous snakes. He said people, like you'd mentioned earlier before we went on the air, you were really worried about people turning others in, even relatives. I mean, you had to be so careful if you came across somebody else out in the jungle. Just a harrowing description he gave me gave all of us for escaping from the North Vietnamese.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's why they left in the middle of the night. It was, you couldn't tell anybody. You couldn't trust your neighbors or even sometimes your family, because you didn't know if they were spies or if they'd been, captured before and they're being forced to give information.
Exactly.
This is your dad?
Grandfather, right?
My grandfather. Grandfather.
So, but we're not talking ancient history here. Like, no. What?
Mid-70s?
I would say about mid-70s.
Isn't that something? That's awful to think that happened. And John and I were in college then, yeah. But that's just not that long ago. So you... How did you end up in the United States? And we're glad you're here. How did you get here? I mean, what was the process?
So the process was that, once we got over to Thailand, we were, my parents, they were in a refugee camp. And that's where they met. And I was born there. I wasn't even a year old yet, just right touching at about a year when I came over. So, of course, I don't remember anything there. But there was a whole process. You know, you had to go through the whole interview process and really find someone to sponsor you to come over here to the U.S.
And one of the sites was the Greater Green Bay Community, or did you go, was it
Sheboygan first?
I went to, we came right to Sheboygan because we already had some relatives that came around ahead of time. But for the earlier immigrants, they were all kind of spread out throughout the whole country. Chicago, Tennessee, pretty much any big metropolitan area or any big city where there were, sponsors.
I have to be careful here. I don't want to stereotype, but it appears to me in my years of being mayor, the Hmong community are pretty entrepreneurial. Like, it doesn't seem like you needed a lot of help to find your footing. Education, business, it just seems like you've really caught on rather quickly.
Yeah, definitely. If you just... here in Green Bay, a Hmong business is a stone throw away from where you are.
Right.
You driving around, you could see Hmong-owned restaurants, Hmong-owned, businesses.
Grocery stores.
Yeah, we have doctors, lawyers.
Absolutely. Great eye doctor. Yes, there's just a lot of some technology, some people in the cellular business. It just seems like they've all done quite well. And I'm proud of you for that. And I don't know what... Why is that? I mean, it was great, but you just didn't need a lot of assistance, it seems. I mean, you...
Well, we are a very tight-knit community.
Can you hold that? We have to send you a quick break.
I want to hear about the community.
Yes, I want to talk more about your grandfather. And this is great stuff. Thank you. We'll be back. Mino the Mayor right after this.
Happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer.
summer. 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
that. I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 87. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 66. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 90. Daytime highs approaching 83. Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms. 76. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On WGBW.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a gorgeous Monday morning downtown Green Bay at the City Deck.
Getting ready for the 4th of July holidays, and we've got a guest here, Meng Zong, who, before we went to break, was telling us about, you know, coming over to this country as a refugee and really with nothing, right? I mean, shirt on your back, you kind of got relocated to a place you didn't choose, but, you know,
a little bit different climate than Thailand and Laos.
Oh yeah, way different, you know. We didn't have winter and snow there, so that was a new experience.
Amy right here from Anchor Coffee is the most important person around here,
right?
Thanks, John.
We like our producer, but we love Amy.
Yes.
She brings us our morning coffee. Anchor,
love you too, Jim.
All right, and we got Anchor, and you're open for the festivities for the
you're open all week.
I mean, yep, all week.
Okay.
We'll be open tomorrow, 6 to 6, but if you're still coming, we'll stay open.
All right.
Beautiful.
Be great. It's going to be a busy day down here where we eventually, Meng, we want to talk about fireworks, but we get festivities that kick off here 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go till, you know, 10:30 at night. Fireworks kick off at 9:45, and Anchor Coffee will be here serving you. They've just got a variety of things, and they may be bringing some, they also have candy too, right? Didn't she bring that in?
No, you haven't, have you? Oh, yeah, well, you brought the candy from your other store. Yes.
Oh, that was the other store. All right.
We brought in the novelty candy, but we still have to bring in chocolate and caramels for you guys.
Yeah, homemade, right?
Bring them to John.
Awesome.
I don't need
them. For the weight loss.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, boy. Let's not talk about that.
No.
This isn't going well.
And the coffee special this week, this is a cherry bomb, white chocolate and cherry. Oh. And then we have Bomb Pop Lotus Drink.
Is there any carbs or anything in this?
No calories, no, John.
There's no calories when it's a holiday week.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Anchor Coffee.
Right.
Got to stop in. Absolutely.
So, Meng, let's right, 4th of July coming up or Independence Day celebration of this country. It's you're happy here and because of the opportunity. So, tell us a little bit about your dad coming over here and what, you know, you're very well engaged.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, my dad, he came over here with pretty much nothing except for the shirt that was on his back. Didn't know any English or anything like that. You know, a story that they often tell me is that, you know, when they were coming over, my uncle on the plane, he didn't know what to order for drinks. But you get the stewardess that comes around. It's like, hey, what do you want? He ordered coffee. He had no idea what coffee was. And it was terrible. It was bitter. It was nasty. It was hot. So it was a new experience for them.
So did he learn that there's bourbon on the plane?
Yeah, he didn't learn gin and tonic yet.
No, they didn't learn anything like that. Yeah,
I can help him with that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Did they ever talk about your grandfather's experiences? And he actually didn't make it, right? Do you think he was captured by the North Vietnamese?
That we're not sure, but we're guessing he probably got shot down because there was, you know, they tell us about the story. They got right to the Vietnam, right to the Mekong River, right about to come over, just waiting for a boat to come get him. My grandfather went to go check on it, and there was gunfire, and he never came back.
Wow.
So, and it was too dangerous to even go check to see if there was a body there or anything like that. So they just waited until the boat came and made their way across.
Unbelievable. You know, some of my Vietnam vets that interviewed for my book and different things like that have so much respect for the Hmong and felt horrible with the way they were left to basically fend for themselves after they helped so many Americans. They were so instrumental in helping downed pilots. That was one of their main things because they could find these guys before the North Vietnamese got to them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, that was one of the main purposes. And, you know, from that, we even had some pretty famous Hmong pilots that came out from that as well that really helped out with the, you know, flying the airplanes and bombing exercises that were happening.
Wow, incredible.
Wow. So you're here now with your family. You've got daughters, you've got brothers, sisters. Are your parents still living?
My mom's still living. My dad, fortunately passed away a few years ago due to cancer. So,
all right. Well, you've taken advantage of some of the opportunities here. I just want to say, and I don't want to be careful, right? Being on the radio, not to stereotype, but I will.
You're going to start now.
Right. But I do think the Hmong community is, we can learn a lot from the Hmong community. Even though some people have been here for, this period of time. You value education. I mean, most of the Hmong community that I know have college is like part of the process. It's not like, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to the college or not. They kind of, you guys kind of grow up thinking that's expected.
Oh, yeah. You know, with college itself and education, we do highly value that. Mainly reason because back in our home country, education was something, it was not something that everyone could do. You had to sacrifice for it. If you had a big family, only one person can go. Everyone works towards that. Here, education, you know, all the way up to the high school high school level is free. So everyone went to high school, or at least wanted their kids to go and graduate high school. And after that, it was college because, you know, how else are we supposed to really start getting ahead if we aren't going to educate ourselves? Whether you use that towards doing your job or use that to learn some skills and become an entrepreneur like many of the, many of our parents did.
What do you think? I mean, you were obviously, you only know living in America. I mean, being one when you came over, obviously. But what did your parents say in regards to what maybe Jim or I, you know, just a couple of, you know, schmucks that were, you know, born in the United States, whatever, whatever. What possibly does your family hold in higher esteem than we do in this country? Do you understand what I'm saying? That maybe we don't appreciate as much as your parents would?
One thing that we do hold in extreme and stuff, and we really appreciate and we try to hold on as we continue on in this country is, of course, education and family. We like to, as I mentioned before, we are a close-knit community. We help out each other. I can go back to some of the stories of when my dad first got here. After a few years of working, of course, he learned a trade right away, worked in a factory, saved up some money. And between him and a bunch of my uncles, they got together and bought their first rental property. And from there, they saved all that money and got another one. And before you know it, they were able to afford to buy their own rental properties and start leveraging some of that with.
You're very entrepreneurial and hardworking. And, I want to say, and I mentioned this to you off air, but the support of your community to each other is unbelievable, be it in sickness and health. Just you really get together and show up and pass the hat.
We got to sit here a quick break, Jim.
Okay.
We'll be back with more.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Extreme weather continues to pose a challenge for millions. Flash floods swept through Chicago, while a heat wave is scorching large areas of the country. It's being blamed for at least 14 deaths across the South. The weather also having an impact on air travel. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told CNN.
Even as we're holding the airlines accountable on customer service, we're also partnering with them at the operational level to solve those tactical problems that can come up hour by hour when you have a thunderstorm, a staffing issue, or anything else.
As the holiday weekend continues, thousands of hotel workers in Los Angeles walked off the job. They're on strike, calling for higher wages and better benefits. Baltimore police say 14 of the 30 victims of a mass shooting early Sunday were under 18. Two people died. Several remain hospitalized. The French Interior Ministry says there were more than 150 arrests overnight on the sixth night of disturbances after police fatally shot an unarmed teenager. This is ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media,
608-819-8255.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Monday morning, the day before Independence Day. We're not going to call it the 4th of July because Jim already yelled at me. We're calling it Independence Day today.
That's right.
And that's what it's going to be. WGBW, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM.
Very special guest today. We have...
Just fascinating. Fascinating talk. I could talk to you all day.
Me too. And when we talked on the phone, and I really wanted you to come and talk about safety, right?
Yeah, basically, let me back this up. So Jim tells me, he goes, okay, so next week, because that's how he gets kind of staccato. Johnny, here's what we're doing. Next week, day before the 4th of July, I want to hit on the Declaration of Independence. I used to recite it. I used to wear the uniform, do the whole thing. We got to talk about that. People don't know enough about the Declaration. Okay, great. Then also, you know, fireworks and everything. Safety. I bought a bunch of fireworks. So let's have firework safety. So then he says, okay. So then he sends me your name, because you're director of... Introduce yourself one more time, Ming.
Yeah, so I work at NWTC. I'm the risk and safety manager there. So, and Jim reached out to me because I sent out a little, what I call a PSA, you know, public service right. announcement to all to the whole campus, pretty much telling them about being safe around, you know, certain holidays. And I touched on fireworks safety for this last one.
Right. So that's what we were going to spend all the time talking about, is fireworks safety for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. But then we found out more of your backstory about being from Laos. Your grandfather fought for the Americans, never made it out of Laos. You guys find a way in a refugee camp in Thailand to make your way over here. And just by, you know, with nothing... No possessions, basically, and you guys made it. And it's just, I just think those are such fascinating stories. And I think that really represents, you want to talk about, you know, the United States celebrating the 250 years or however long it's been. What is it?
It was 237.
237. 230. Wow. Is that what it is?
I'm not going to look.
All right. You should know. Oh, my gosh. Here's the guy that recites the Declaration of Independence off the top of his head, and he can't. Well, when was the bicentennial? 1976, right?
I was thinking about that. I was 18. And
I was too.
Did you drink red, white, and blue beer? Everybody did.
No.
You didn't drink red, white, and blue beer that day?
No. That was real cheap, though, wasn't it?
Yes, but it was patriotic. I mean, price wasn't...
We drank Stroh's or Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yes, that was... Anyway, back to our guest. So I as a faculty member, I received Meng's notice on firework safety, and I called him, and... Here's a guy that you gave his backstory, but he loves this country and he's happy he's here. And even though he really didn't choose to come here like an immigrant, as a refugee, he was kind of brought here, forced here, has really embraced living in America. And I said, well, we got to talk about fire safety, which we have to do now. Yeah, that's why I had you drive here. But
right. Let me just say one thing first, though. So my parents, you were surprised my family hasn't been in this country as long as many people. They came over to like 1910, somewhere around there, 1912, from Italy. But my dad said that my grandfather, who I never met, who passed away before I was born, said that happiest day of his entire life was the day he became an American citizen. And they were really, I don't want to say the Italians were discriminated against, but they really wanted to become, they wanted to almost like forget about the old country. They wanted to be Americans. Like his name was Matteo, changed it to Matthew. My other grandfather, his name was Luigi, changed it to Louis. Everybody really wanted to, that's how much they embraced this country. They wanted to be Americans. And you know, they were very proud of that fact. But I didn't realize they still do have to take a test. Huh? When you first come into the country, and it's kind of tough.
Yeah, when you know, I wouldn't say when you first come into the country, but when you do have to, become a citizen, you do still have to take your naturalization test.
Right.
And yeah, as we were talking about before, some of the questions are pretty hard. Some of them are very simple, but yet, if you were to ask anybody on the street, you know, if we were to go out there right now, if a mic and ask some of those questions, some people probably won't be able to.
Oh my God! I got into a cab in New York, and the guy was just playing the questions. I mean, there's 100 questions, right? I mean, they give you the
question.
But and I'm like, what are you listening to? He goes, look, I'm practicing for my test, my immigration test. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. And you know, that's just dedication. Like we had to take, where I went to school, we had to take government, and then, you know, you take political science when you're in college. But I was in, right? I didn't have to study like these guys. It's a big deal. I mean, they want to be an American citizen. And my son-in-law took that test too. And have you seen Hamilton?
No, I have not.
You're the guy. Everybody has seen Hamilton.
Have you seen Hamilton, Meng?
No.
Mm. Okay, two. Oh. Anyway,
Carly, you see Hamilton?
I just was just...
0-3.
One of the questions... We went to see Hamilton when I was down in Chicago, and he actually learned... One of the questions that he needed the answer to, he learned in seeing the musical Hamilton. Anyway, back to you. Look, you...
all that time for that?
Yeah.
That's the only payoff we get?
I'm
Holy
saying it...
Cow. Yeah. Wow. All
right. You're right. That was a little lame. My point is there's some hard questions on that test that I think Meng was saying in a very nice way.
What did that have to do with the cab driver?
The cab driver was studying. This guy.
But what does that have to do with Hamilton?
The test... I'm saying is there...
Was it the cab driver that was taking you to Hamilton?
Maybe. Okay. Whatever. Man, well, tell us about fire safety.
Well, also going along with that test, one thing we have to also consider is that for some of those people, that's probably the probably the second test that some of those people have only taken. You know, the first one being getting a driver's license, and that's probably the second one. And some of them aren't even, they barely know how to read or write. So it is a very difficult situation for some of the people.
Yeah. What did they think of the winters when they first came over?
Rentals were terrible. You know, never seen snow at all. Some of them.
Can't imagine.
Yeah. All right. So you, come on. We've got the holidays coming up. What was the essence of your notice that you sent to us faculty members and students at TC?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being that I come from a manufacturing background and everything, one of the goals is to have people come to work and be able to be safe, you know, so that they can make it home. But another challenge is to have people be safe at home so they can make it back to work as well. You know, when you're at home, if you get injured, if a family member gets injured, you're stressed. You lose your ability to make money or earn and make a living for your family and support them. So with the fireworks safety, I just want to put a little information out there so that people can actually enjoy and celebrate the holidays, not worry too much about it. And we often forget that there's certain safety issues and concerns with everyday activity that we do. You oftentimes, you know, I know there are a lot of people who are probably guilty of this, is, you know, if you're out chopping firewood, are you wearing your PPE? I would suggest throw some steel-toe shoes on, wear some gloves, and wear your safety glasses. But I'm sure we've probably seen a lot of people chopping firewood in their sandals with no safety glasses.
Well, so. I told this story about when I was learning how to become a welder. Remember that one, Jim?
Yes, I've heard that.
Set myself on fire, my shorts, from the sparks. Yeah, right down to the crotchal region. That wasn't a good day.
So it's
back to our guest. Yeah, man. So, all right. Yeah, that John will. I think we're going to hear that story again, too. But yes. What did you tell? I know what you told us, but about fireworks safety, like what should be the biggest thing we look out for?
Oh, yeah, definitely. With fireworks safety, you know, we in the U.S. itself, there's at least 126 emergency room visits between 2019 and 2022 annually. And, you know, as we can guess, it's mainly males. 73% of it is males.
Well, do you remember the New York Giant player? I can't think of his name. Defensive lineman. Lost a finger a couple of years back. Missed a season.
Really?
Remember that? Yeah. No, yeah. I don't. Had like a firecracker go off in his hand.
Well, and really one of the things is when you think your fireworks have shot off the fire, you got to put them in water. People don't do that, and they're not totally out yet, or they could go off again. So you got to get a bucket of water, and I know you put that in there, and it's kind of obvious, but people don't do that because that's when you go back and pick it up, that's when you can burn your hand. And I think the people who blow it off in their hand, that's kind of like, oof. It doesn't really pass the common sense test to light off a firecracker and hold it.
Well, you know, Jim, I would like to add that, you know, common sense does not exist, though, because everything we know, we've learned from somewhere. So if no one ever taught you not to hold on to something hot, you're not going to know until you burn yourself.
What do you think is the most dangerous, like just roadside stand type of fireworks that somebody would buy?
Sparklers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sparklers are the most dangerous because who do you give sparklers to?
Little kids.
Exactly. And little kids don't know any better. So they're holding those things close to hand. They burn over 2,000 degrees. And they're running around, not paying attention. They don't know that it's hot. They touch it where it's hot. They touch other kids with it. So that is very dangerous.
That is that one hot wire. That's what it is. And and parents, they light it, and then the kids go running away, and they don't really keep an eye on them. You know what? You would think sparklers, because that's kind of, in the world of fireworks, that's a little lame, right? I mean, in terms of the fun, right? It doesn't. I mean, it's a sparkler, but yet that's the most dangerous. You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting.
That is the most dangerous because we give it to kids. Kids don't know what they're doing with it. And then on top of that, though, too, Roman candles are pretty dangerous themselves because you get a few drunk guys and some Roman candles. What are they going to do? They start shooting it off at each other. So we also need to
bottle
be careful
rockets.
With that. Yep, bottle rockets as well. Yeah. So, you know, a good substitute for our sparklers for kids, go with glow sticks. You know, something where it still lights up and it's fun and they're not going to be running around burning themselves or other people.
Well, I see where some places they're having fireworks shows without fireworks. They're using drones and things like that now that illuminate the sky.
Yes.
That's like the next thing it seems like that's starting to happen. Here it's not so bad because everything's over the water.
Right.
But in some of those areas, you know, where you have the wildfires and things like that, it doesn't take much to, you know, start something. You know what I always thought was, you don't see these much anymore. But I remember where I was at a place, it was a wedding, I think it was, and they gave everybody one of those, what would you describe it as, where you light it, and then it's a light, and it goes up into the sky, and it floats around. Have you ever seen those? I can't think of the name of them.
The lanterns?
Yes, the lanterns.
Okay, yes.
I think those are dangerous, cool. Aren't they?
Oh, yeah, those are very dangerous because they can catch fire and fall down on houses, buildings, and structures. And not just that, they also, they got to come down sometime.
Right. Well, those are like those luminaries, right, with parachute on. And that's real fire in there. That's not
yeah,
light.
Yeah, that's what that's, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's real fire.
No, that's real fire.
Those are cool looking. But you're right. If they land in a dry place, now you shoot them off over water, like at Bay Beach, not Bay Beach, at Point Beach in Two Rivers, they do that, or Neshota Park, I should say. They have that luminary, and the sky looks beautiful.
When do they do that? I want to see this. I'd like to see that.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
All right.
It is unbelievable.
Is that when they have their balloon fest?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It is. That's that whole kite festival. Well, it's a kite festival, and then they do the luminaries at night. But yeah, I can see where that's very dangerous, especially as dry as it is, right? I mean, those things land in some...
Yep, you don't know where it's going to land. And right. Here in right where we live, we haven't had rain for a long time.
No.
It's really dry everywhere.
Yeah.
And not to mention the pollution that it causes in the waterways. You know, fish and animals, they see that stuff. They don't know what it is. They're going to eat it. They're going to die.
Yeah, I'm surprised that those things are legal. I really am.
But they're beautiful. Okay. All right, Romain. We'll stay away from those. Another tip for the fourth.
All right. So another tip for the fourth is we touched it before with you know, if you're lighting up fireworks, especially if you're lighting up a big cake or something, make sure you have water around,
right,
little holes and stuff, and douse that thing in water. Even if you think that it's dead, it's probably not. So let it dunk it in a can or a tank. Don't put it in your garage or garbage right away. I've seen it plenty of times where you think it's dead, and then they'll flare up when people don't know. And that's how houses get burnt down. You're sleeping in the middle of the night, and suddenly your fire alarm goes off because the cake just caught on fire.
Right. You pick the stuff up, threw it in the garbage. Yeah, it's got to stay in water. And you made that very clear in your email to us, and we'll do that. Say, I just really hope you have a very happy Independence Day. I just love how much you love this country, and proud of you for what you've done and what you're doing at TC. I mean, we need people like you. The whole Hmong community has been just made our country better, and we appreciate you being here, and we'd like to have you back sometime.
And for what your grandfather did in helping our troops.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. You know, I really appreciate you guys having me come here to talk a little about this.
Don't you have a friend that's graduating? Tell me about him.
Yeah, actually, you know, we have a fellow colleague in my department. She's retiring from NWTC. Her name's Ann Klein. She is, until now, she was one of the longest standing employees that's been there. So cool. You know, I just want to wish her a happy retirement.
That's nice. We wish her the same. I mean, that school has really grown. It's really helped so many people, sometimes later careers, sometimes transition.
Can you get me to the welding program?
I don't know about that. You can always sign up.
You got to know math. So anyway, thank you for being here, man.
It's been great.
Say hi to your family, and happy Independence Day to you.
All the respect in the world for the Hmong community.
Definitely. Right. Thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
God bless.
Minor the Mayor. Set a quick break. Back after this.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha. With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play. Visit our website for more information. Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion throughout the month of July. You can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on July 29th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires.
only at Ho-Chunk Amby Nakusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Amby Nakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear today with highs around 87. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 66. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 90. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 83. Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. 76. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Thank you to Meng for stopping by. Really fascinating story. You know, when we were talking off air with him at first, and you talked about being an immigrant, he goes, "No, I'm not an immigrant. I'm a refugee."
Oh yeah.
And the way he put it then, how starkly, you know, he realizes we were chased out of our country. We were chased out. We didn't come here. We had no other options.
Yeah, he was a little not offended by that, because like, wait, don't call me an immigrant.
No,
I'm a refugee, and I'm like, look, I'm still learning. I said, explain the difference to me, and like you just said, Johnny, you know, immigrants, they choose to come here for a better life, because you know, we had no life. We were forced to go somewhere, and we ended up here. But boys,
although I do think I have one relative who was forced out of Italy, but that's for neither here nor there. Can you believe that?
I can. I'm trying to learn a little bit more about your background. Yeah, all right. It's a little scary.
So tell me again, when you first started being so fascinated with the Declaration of Independence and about the 4th of July and this whole thing, because to you, this is almost like your biggest holiday
no doubt.
Of the year, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
And you're the only
is.
Person I've ever met where this is the biggest day of the year.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that understand.
Well, I mean, there's nothing against it.
But without this day, you know, what do we have? 10 holidays in the United States. And I just really hope people understand, you know, Christmas and it used to be Washington's Day. Now it's President's Day for birthdays. But I think people really need to understand. And I'm afraid, I don't like the title 4th of July. I told you that, because actually this happened on the 2nd of July anyway. But and Adams wrote to Abigail and said, "Hey, look, this day is gonna people are gonna celebrate this day, you know, for every year in the future." And he wrote that letter on July 2nd. But anyway, July 4th is the day it is. But who cares if it's the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th?
You know,
it's
Independence Day. You know what I didn't know until you again off air this morning when you were talking about it a little bit with Meng. I didn't realize British were ready to attack us when they did this. I did not know that
we were gonna get when these guys look. It was really important for, you got all these guys they're in Philly, right? You've been there. And can you imagine?
No, that's one city I've never been to. What?
Okay, everybody's been there.
Not everybody. Carl, you ever been to Philadelphia? 0-2.
Okay. A lot of people have. Okay, whatever.
Did you go there for a Packer game?
No, I went there see Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell.
Okay.
People, it's our history, Johnny. Right. It's our country.
All right.
247 years ago, these guys are sitting in this room. The weather was probably like it is now. 90 degrees, you know, and they're trying to... They had sent a letter to the king back in October saying, look, George, we're kind of sick of this. You know, we don't like these taxes. We don't... And he ignored it. You know, this guy was a little bit of a squish, though, right? I mean, King George. King George.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know much about King George.
You see Hamilton. That's right. No. You're the guy. That's right. Okay, anyway.
Was that good, Hamilton?
It was great.
Okay.
It was great. And, you know, it's right. a little bit of different music to it. But yeah, it's
I've
fun.
Only seen one play in my life.
Oh my.
What? Well, I mean, as far as like a big, like a Broadway show type, it was Hunchback. I think it was a Hunchback in New York. Yeah, I only saw one show. Go ahead.
Oh, there's theater coming back to the Widener. I already bought my tickets. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there
is. I saw some good ones there. I saw Miss Saigon.
Yeah, that was good.
Best Little Bleep House. Can you say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best. Well, that was with Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Did you see
one of the guys who? Remember, I said last week about a TV show where you wanted to be somebody, and I said Isaac from The Love Boat. Yeah. I wanted to be a bartender and cruise ship.
Right.
Another one was Andy from WKRP. Okay. Remember, he always wore the real tight jeans. But anyway, him. But anyway, he was the co-star with Anne Margaret that night at the Widener.
Robert Goulet.
No.
No, he was. I'm just saying they've had some. You know what a great play that was there. Did you? She was the gymnast, the Olympic in Peter Pan.
Okay.
Did you?
Olga Korbut? No.
No. The lady who was in. She was in Peter Pan. She was at the Widener, and so they wanted to promote the show. So I was an
Olympic gymnast.
Yes.
Like a big timer.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Anyway,
Nadia Comaneci.
Nope, it wasn't her. They wanted to promote the show. So I went out there and you know how they, and they put me in that, that trapeze thing there, that brace around your legs. And I know you burned your area. That was very tight. And then they lifted me up to do like this. And I had to sprinkle pixie dust on the stage.
Really?
And,
this would have been worth the price of admission.
That's not the smartest thing to do if you're in the middle of an election year, because the whole mayor with the pixie dust thing. But anyway, that she was there. There've been some great plays, but Hamilton was a great play because it's nice to see a play like Titanic, right? We kind of learn a little bit about it. Yet it's theater. You know? Did you see that? No, you didn't see that. Well, but Miss Saigon, right?
Yeah, that was a little fantastic.
Right, there's a little education in that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
I love that one.
There's a lot of plays that tell a story.
Yeah,
And that was one of them. But anyway, back to
were you a theater guy?
I was. I'd like theater. I was. But anyway, why my interest in the 4th of July?
Can I say one thing?
Don't.
No, listen here.
Be nice. I'm your co-host.
I am nice. You ready?
Yeah.
You know who you're sitting next to?
What? What were you?
1977. Okay.
Okay.
Mesabi Community College, Actor of the Year.
No.
Uh-huh.
And you saw one play?
Well, only one big time play.
Oh, big time play.
Big time play.
What were you? Were you like? Were you in something that I would know? Like I was in the Music Man. Right?
I was in Of Mice and Men.
Okay.
I played George.
All right.
Cool. All right.
That's good.
Yeah. I was also in Huck Finn.
There you go. Well, now you're getting somewhere. That's good, John.
All right.
These
thank
are things
you.
A little bit of history and a little bit of education. So the Music Man. I was actually in. I was in the Barbershop Quartet. Mm. I had speaking lines too, though, and I was on. At the Capitol Theater, like you had to pay to see me. Really?
Wow.
I'm not kidding. In Manitowoc. That was like a highlight.
Which is a very nice place.
Yes. It
was. Wow. Great.
So anyway, I was talking to your wife because we went to the same high school together, different, you know, couple. And I think the reason I got so interested in this is I was my class president.
You were class president?
Yes.
Wow.
But no, that's not what it was.
Okay.
It was my government teacher because he was just great. He told us about this stuff in like a story. It wasn't boring. It was really interesting. And he thought a lot of...
I thought she said he was really boring.
Yeah.
Or is that a different one?
No.
That was a different one, wasn't
no,
it?
No, I know.
It was a brother, right?
Oh, you had a brother. No, this guy wasn't a Christian brother.
Okay.
I had a lot of Christian brothers. This guy was... But I don't think he lasted for some reason, but he was a little critical of government, which is... I think that's okay. And that's one of the beauties of living here is you can be critical of government, right? You can say whatever you want.
Was anybody ever critical of you when you were
no,
in government?
No, didn't happen.
No.
Didn't allow. But
it, not allowed.
But anyway, we're going to talk about Independence Day. And
about my parking ticket at all?
We'll talk about your parking tickets, but let's talk about our grievances with the Brits, why we cut the umbilical cord, and what a risk it was. These guys were signing their death certificate when they signed that. And the mood in the room was not, it wasn't joyful.
I'm going to give you one quick trivia question that should be right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which former president, which guy who once then became president was a POW during the Revolutionary War.
Oh, I know five of them.
We got sent to
this summer. 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. AB.